Last Call Podcast with Chris Michaels. I was thinking that, well, I do so many podcasts. I do so much broadcasting that if I mail it in every now and then, more so than what I usually do, that's fine. It's not like anybody is paying me any money. And if you want to change the broadcast, then go ahead. Don't let me stop you, because enough is enough. I mean, I added it up. I'm doing, what, at least eight to probably close to 8 hours a week in podcasting. I mean, that's pretty much a part-time job, and I ain't getting nothing for it. Now, you know what? Maybe not 8 hours, probably closer to four to five in there. I mean, that's a whole show in itself every day. And that's what people get paid for. And, well, I'm just doing it because I am a lovable fuzzball. Oh, by the way, one of the reasons why I am a lovable fuzzball is because I bring things up that are years ahead of the curve. So right now, toxoplasmosis is making the rounds on social media. Now, what's that? That is a disease that I brought up back in 2020 that bore a striking resemblance to all the COVID situations that we had going on with adverse events and reactions and symptoms and all this. And I brought it up back in September of 2021, and only now, in 2024, is it suddenly getting any kind of notoriety, specifically because somebody brought it up on Joe Rogan's podcast. So you can either listen to Joe Rogan and be behind the times by 3 years, 36 months, or you can listen to me and people like Greg Bolden, and you will be well informed. You may not do anything with the information that we give you, but at least you can say, hey, I heard that from the moron that rants and raves on a podcast. So thankfully, we've got the Republicans here pushing something through, an election integrity law. Ooh, it's called the Equal Representation Act, led by Chuck Edwards. Thanks, Chuck. Too bad your state sucks, North Carolina. And he introduced this whole bill. It creates new reporting requirements for data gathered from the citizenship question on the census, noting that the citizenship makeup of the population of the U.S. is a basic data point, and that should be available to policymakers, and the decennial census questionnaire is the best way to obtain such data, on and on and on. So it got voted 206 to 202. It passed. Guess what? It passed along party lines. In other words, the Democrats are trying to ensure that there is no record of the illegal immigration citizens. They're not citizens, but people that live in the United States that shouldn't be here. Though common sense dictates, Mr. Edwards said, that only citizens should be counted for apportionment purposes, illegal aliens have nonetheless recently been counted towards the final tallies that determine how many House seats each state is allocated and the number of electoral votes it will wield in presidential elections. I brought that up weeks and weeks, if not months ago. One of the main reasons why the Democrats and the rollover Republicans want all of these illegal immigrants and putting them in sanctuary cities is because those Democrat states and those Democrat cities will suddenly get more representation in Congress through the House of Representatives. Because unlike the Senate, the amount of representatives that come from each state is dependent upon the population thereof. Unlike where in the Senate, every state gets two representatives, right? Or two senators. So that's one of the reasons why. And that census and that distribution also affects the Electoral College, which determines who is going to be president. That is important. What they're trying to do is make a permanent majority for the Democrats and the woke policies that they are pushing through by allowing this unfettered immigration. So, of course, this vote went down along party lines. And the Democrats, lockstep, said absolutely not, and nobody should actually determine the citizenship of the people living in the area for the census. That's irrelevant. What really matters is how well those people in the areas are serviced, whether that's through social welfare programs, jobs, you know, representation in Congress. It's all about the amount of people that live in the area. What's the border have to do with anything anyway? What does citizenship have to do with anything? There are plenty of people that aren't citizens that pay taxes in this country, and they deserve some representation in Congress. That's what the Democrat argument is. We all know what's really happening here. They're all getting mail-in ballots. They're all getting registered to vote when they shouldn't be registered to vote, and they are going to cheat in the next presidential election. And for what it's worth, Donald Trump has said, if you thought what Eisenhower did with Operation Wetback was something, then just you wait. We're going to deport more people in the bigliest of ways, more than any other president combined. So he's also now saying, and this is interesting, he intends to use special forces to go after Mexican drug lords. Now, this could be a little bit of a problem, don't you think? He said he is campaigning on this towards the public, and he's going to make appropriate use of special forces, cyber warfare, and other overt and covert actions to inflict maximum damage on cartel leadership, infrastructure, and operations. Now, when was the last time you heard any candidate going after the Mexican cartels or trying to stymie immigration? That's right, you haven't. It is going to be some very difficult conversations in the White House when Donald Trump gets in there, especially since, as we all know, the cartels are really controlled by the intelligence agencies of various nations, including the CIA. So the whole war on drugs, remember that? During the 90s and so on, the war on drugs was really about consolidating the drug cartels into one or two different drug manufacturers and you know, crop growers and all that, that the CIA can work with and control. That's the war on drugs. It's not, oh, we have to keep drugs out of the hands of children on our streets because it's such a danger. No, they don't care about that. They don't care about that at all, because the drug cartels are making big, big buckets of cash. And if you suddenly determine that, hey, wait a minute, we should do something about this, that's going to have a lot of eggs on people's faces. Because as we all know, Donald Trump is going to really take that out of the works, because Donald Trump knows how the game is played. He will defeat the cartels in the same ways that he defeated ISIS. And that is by stopping the funding from the CIA, the State Department, USAID, and various other non-governmental organizations that have the money going to these cartels, whether that's for human trafficking, drug trafficking, gun trafficking, child trafficking, prostitute, on and on. With all of that stuff, you want to stop it, then stop funding it. Who funds it? State Department, CIA. Same thing that happened with ISIS, this radical Muslim group. Well, it didn't start until Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton started to fund them through various countries. And don't say to me that, oh, it's ISIS, a radical Islam group. When was the last time ISIS actually attacked an enemy of NATO or an enemy of Islam? Oh, that's right. They don't. They don't. I mean, if ISIS is supposed to be this radicalized group where they behead people constantly in front of green screens, then don't you think there's a Zionist state or there is Israel in the Levant, right? Don't you think that this radical Muslim group may go after Israel if we're to believe all of the rhetoric and propaganda? Of course, but they don't do that. In fact, Israel actually helped ISIS in Syria. So that's the way Donald Trump is going to defund and get rid of the cartels altogether. Just stop giving them cash. That's it. That's all you have to do. And like I said, I do so many podcasts, I'm not going to go long right now. But Catherine Austin Fitz, one of my favorite people to listen to and to read, she came out with an article on the Solari Report, Netanyahu's Mass Atrocity Machinery. What will you do? So there have been reports that of mass graves being found in Gaza, and there are hundreds of bodies in these graves. Some of them have their hands tied behind their back, shot, of course, in the back of the head, more than likely, or shot in the back. And there are many, many, many of these bodies with their organs missing. So immediately, the mainstreams came out and said, oh, we found all these mass graves. And they flipped it. They said that it was mass graves, but of Israelis, they found. No. That's not true at all. These aren't mass graves filled with Israelis. These are mass graves filled with Gazans. And the Israelis are well known to be eyeball deep in the organ trade. There was a couple of years ago, a couple of dual citizens with Israel. I know at least they were Orthodox. In New Jersey, you can find this, I believe it was back in 2014 or something along those lines, involved with a massive organ trading, organ ring from New Jersey going to Israel. You also read reports from the Ukraine, where everybody remember Shakashvili. I don't remember where he was from and what country he was the leader of, but his wife is involved in the organ trade in the Ukraine. And guess where those organs are going? They're going to Israel. So same thing here, and probably all throughout the EU and all that, through the black market and so on. But same thing's going on here. They're taking the organs from the Gazans. Well known they do that all the time. It's been reported for decades. So she continues by saying, those of you that consume the corporate media know almost nothing about the mass graves in Gaza. And instead, what they're trying to do is they're creating something called a whiteout. And so they're distracting you with other stories to make sure that you don't pay attention to stories like these. One of those stories being the school protests that are being engineered. And she says, from what I can hear and see, the corporate media are silent about the mass graves, and much of the freedom community is silent as well. Many churches continue to trumpet support for the criminal syndicate leading to the genocide. Wow-wee. She does not pull any punches with that one. The governor of New York raised the Israeli flag over the governor's residence. The U.S. Congress passed almost $100 billion in appropriations to keep the mass atrocity going in the Ukraine and Israel. The real stories of mass atrocities keep sneaking out, here we go, on TikTok. American private equity and venture capital own approximately 60% of ByteDance, the company that owns TikTok. And Congress, filled with legislators with dual passports, get that? Dual passport citizens, look at Biden's cabinet. Dual passports, meaning dual citizens, and dual citizens between which two countries? She's alluding to the United States and Israel, is now trying to make sure that the criminal syndicate can assert control over ByteDance, which allows them to squeeze out the Chinese founders and investors by picking up their much smaller 20% equity on the cheap. So this is what I've brought up many, many times. It is the fact that Greenblatt from the ADL, who is all about making sure there isn't any anti-Semitism out there in the world, we've got to stamp it out, and he's all for censorship. He's all for removing freedom of speech and eliminating the Constitution. For what, you know, food for thought with that. So what they determined was that it wasn't a left-right, Democrat-Republican issue with who supports Israel. Both sides, especially the older crowds, unwavering support for Israel. They can do no wrong. They can level Gaza. They'll still support it. But the real issue comes in with the younger people. At the younger end of the spectrum, both left and right people, you know, 18 to 25, 26, 27, they are saying enough is enough. On the left, it is pro-Gaza. On the right, they're saying, why are we giving Israel billions upon billions of dollars? For what? What do we get out of this? So that is the real issue here. Greenblatt says this is a younger aged problem here. It's not the adults. It is the 20-somethings. So where do the 20-somethings get all their information from, or at least most of their information from right now? And that is TikTok. So ergo, they want to get rid of TikTok. They want to take it over. They want to homogenize the message. They want to make sure that there is only pro-Israeli stories on TikTok. No more Gaza stories. No more mass graves. No more atrocities being committed by the IDF. No more leveling of Gaza videos coming out and how there's essentially an embargo on all foodstuffs in there. They don't want that out there. So now you know the real backstory of this whole TikTok legislation and what's going on with that. She continues, Catherine Austin Fitz, by saying that the criminal syndicate's stack functions, right? So it's all tied to the protests. You're going to start to see more fear porn marketing to going out to the Jewish community, insisting that anti-Semitism is on the rise. How many stories have you seen? And they're never really broadcast. You find them in plenty of places where, oh, there was a swastika found somewhere. Oh, death to Jews was spray painted underneath an underpass or an overpass, or look, there's a swastika on a temple somewhere and all that. Jewish tombstones knocked over. And how many times do you see the stories where they actually catch the perpetrator and the perpetrator is Jewish himself? For some reason, they're trying to exacerbate the anti-Semitism issue, which for all intents and purposes, there really isn't one. But they need that rhetoric to keep going. They being, you know, whoever, the ADL, the mainstream media, the politicians, they need that narrative to keep to continue. She then says, the messaging also insists that the Jewish community must support the weaponization of anti-Semitism with more and more hate crime legislation, which leads to what? The elimination of the First Amendment and your freedom of speech. And they also say that the major donors to U.S. universities are calling to complain. And I expect, she says, that the criminal syndicate will get a bigger voice in who leads the universities and who runs and controls their endowments. Steering and controlling the investments of these endowments offers rich rewards, and it justifies policies that support the syndicate's takings and disaster capitalism. This is how they will engineer more investment capital. And same thing for the U.S. presidential candidates. How much more can they support the central bankers and so on and so forth? And she, it's a good article. She continues further along. But she's 100% spot on with all of this. You're starting to see a push, not starting, it's been going on since 2016. They want to make sure that the media is completely taken over and there's only one narrative out there. And that is whatever it could be from the politicians, the World Economic Forum types, you know, on and on, right? They are very upset with places like X and TikTok, which offer stories that don't go along with the narrative or force them to answer questions that their narrative doesn't abide by. So they don't need that, especially if they're on a war footing. They cannot allow that because they need to make sure that what's going on right now is only happening with the approved media outlets, and X and TikTok, they aren't it. They've got their own problems, but they're a lot more balanced than anything in the mainstream media. Okay, that's it. So it's Thursday. Remember to find X, find Greg Bolden on X. Obviously, I'm tired today. And we'll do the podcast and the live cast. We're going to have an excellent guest. It'll be fantastic. So do not hesitate to head on over there and enjoy your weekends otherwise.